Haven't done it for a really, really long time. And something that's been burning on my heart lately is Walking Worthy. I won't be reading from the Working Translation, but I'll be doing a little reference. I might change a preposition here and there because it's a better part of the translation, but your King James will work just fine. I'd like to share a little bit about walking worthy, having a balanced walk. That word worthy is from the Greek word axios, and it means a balance. That's what it means. So I'm going to share with you what's going to be on one side and what that balanced walk brings it back in. And you're going to see what those characteristics are as you put on God's word in your life. The world tells us that we need to make ourselves worthy by works. So what you do, what you eat, follow this philosophy, pray to that saint, God, whatever. There's a whole myriad of things that the world tells you that will make you worthy. However, just like the little song just said, but he made me worthy. Our God made us worthy. That's how we can walk worthy. It's nothing we did, nothing I put on in my life. So anyway, he's already made us worthy in his son, Jesus Christ. And go to Ephesians 1. We're going to read a little bit about that being made worthy. We're just going to let the word speak today. You know, I'm nobody. But God's word says it all. And it's quite clear. They're not even confusing verses. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, to the holy ones who are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That word faithful is pistos. And essentially he's saying they were holy ones and they were believers. So they were walking the talk, right? Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us already with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, that we should be sanctified, set apart, be his, and without blame, without blemish, before him in love. Now, are we imperfect? Yes, we are. But in God's eyes, what he made in us is blameless and without blemish. What an awesome reality that is. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He, God, has made us accepted in the beloved. He made us. Nothing I did. I can bow to Buddha all day. God made me accepted in the beloved. In whom we have redemption. I've been redeemed through this beloved one. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I've been forgiven. I didn't forgive me. God forgave me. There's nothing. We're not in this equation at all. I mean, you'll start seeing that. You are not in this equation. You are the, if the equation was equals, it's made worthy. You know, everything that God did, and then you're worthy. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, his divine favor, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when the fullness of times are administered, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Why? That we should be to the praise of the glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the token, the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I know we're just reading, but we're just letting the word speak to us right now. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And these next verses are his prayer. This prayer rocked me when I sat and thought about it being a prayer. It wasn't like, thank you, God, for this, thank you, God, for that, thank you, God, for this. Here was Paul's prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What a prayer. What a prayer. And that word knowledge is a powerful word. It should be translated acknowledge. That you acknowledge him. That God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the acknowledgement of him, of God. That word acknowledgement is epignosis. And I've been taught previously, you know, experiential knowledge. But even more so, it's a full knowledge that has an overwhelming impact on the knower. Overwhelming. It causes you to act, moves you to action, this kind of knowledge. That's why acknowledgement is really a better word. Like I could acknowledge, in the English, acknowledge has really fallen apart. Like I can say, oh, Bear's here today. Hey, Bear. Yeah, I acknowledged him, right? But to fully acknowledge somebody to the point of action, I go, oh, hey, Bear. Oh, you got a good seat. Can I get you a cup of coffee? What can I do for you today? Hey, do you want to see the pictures of the grandkid? You know, there was a move to action, to just, you know, it's fuller than just like, oh, hey. You know, like and unfortunately, English falls apart. When we read this stuff, it's very watered down. But that's where I want your head to be when you look at the word knowledge. It's really acknowledge with a fullness to the point of acting. The more you put this on, the more you act, it becomes what you believe. Chew on that for a minute. That becomes what you believe. Because you put that word on, you're acting on it more and more, you believe it more and more. That's what God wants for us, that the eyes of our verse 18, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. The aha moment. Yeah, not to quote Oprah, but it's the aha moment. Like, you know, you ponder and ponder and put that word on and acknowledge God for all he's done for you. And then, oh, I get it, yeah. That you so know it, that you get it, and you so do it. That's where we're going with this walking worthy. Okay, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Don't stop between those two verses. They put him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. That's us. He's head over us, which is his body, the fullness of him, the fullness of Christ that fills all in all things in all people. That's all in all. He's all we need. We are complete in him. Thank you, Stella, sang the songs I asked. Yeah, we are complete. There is nothing we add to this. We're not in the equation. We're the recipients of this incredible plan that God had for us through Jesus Christ. Okay, so how are we worthy? We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We're sanctified, justified, redeemed, forgiven. I had other things written down here. We're highly favored in the beloved one. It's God's will for us. His good pleasure. He made us who we are and who he wanted us to be. You know, we're the body of Christ. were everything he wanted for us, so that whosoever wants to can say yes to his word. That's why he did it all, for whosoever. So turn to Ephesians 4. So Ephesians 2 and 3 goes on to continue with the great blessings of being in the one body, you know, the great mystery revealed, all that stuff. So it's more of the same, just piling it on. You know? So we get to the great chapter 4, and we read, I therefore. Therefore is really the first word. Why for the therefore? Because of everything written in Ephesians 1 through 3. You know, he made you worthy, therefore. I beseech you that you walk worthy. Now you can walk worthy because of Ephesians 1 through 3. It's a reality. It's a done deal. But we have to acknowledge God and what he's done for us so that we move and act and do that. So now you can walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So vocation day in high school, there. You're probably the last one to go to high school here. What is vocation day at high school? Don't you? They didn't do it. Oh, my gosh.
They don't have it anymore.
Oh, my gosh. We used to do it in high school. They would bring in all these people from different walks of life to share what they did. Oh, you really disappoint me. Oh, well, you don't disappoint me. The education system disappoints me. They bring all these different people in, so you could talk to them about being a doctor, a lawyer, a cop, a whatever. And that would be your vocation. It's what you do. But that's not this word. This word is calling. Now, a lot of people will call their job their calling, but our calling is in Christ Jesus. You know, that's who we are. Everything we just read is who we are. And to walk worthy of that vocation, to walk worthy of what God made us, with all lowliness. And that word lowly is humility. That's no self-boasting. Others before me. It's not about me. You know, that's humility. So you walk with all humility and meekness. Meekness is being coachable. I still want to be coachable when I'm 100. I want any of you to be able to come up to me and go, you know, that's really not what the word said. And I would be like, thank you. You know, I want to be that person forever. Because you can't get there. It's not Hinduism. Like, we don't reach nirvana where, you know, you're perfect. Yeah, we don't, you know, you never arrive. Like, God's word and God is multifaceted, you can't ever get there. Like, there's so much to know about God. It's revelation. Like, that's when we'll know everything, you know. So you'll never get bored. You'll never never go, well, today I'm thinking about something else. But that's that meekness. That's being coachable. Coachable with long-suffering. Coachable with endurance. Because you know what? We live in this world, and we're attacked and pressured and tempted in this world. But that's where walking worthy will give you that endurance to endure long-suffering, to endure through it. You know, God gives us the strength to do that. And forbearing one another in love, upholding one another in love. These are all indicators of the worthy walk. You know, that we walk in love, that we're humble. But you're not making yourself humble so that you can be worthy. You walk with humility because of what God made you. Like, it's pretty wonderful. And the fifth one here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's putting forth a diligent effort to fight for that one body. I made some snide remark to Jay the other day, you know, it was about somebody we both knew, and he said, I don't even want to think like that about anybody. And I was like, man, I felt very reproved, but it was right on, you know? And it was silly. It was like Jim always wears his glasses on his nose. He goes, I don't even want to think a negative. I know. But, I mean, that's how silly it was. But when Jay said that, it really hit home to me. I'm like, man, it can be so simple where you just make some weird comment about somebody and maybe put a negative thought in their mind. It's like, we have to be diligent. We have to put forth a diligent effort to guard this one body, because the adversary could think of nothing better than to split us up. And sometimes he's successful, but he doesn't have to be. He doesn't have to be successful. We just have the honesty to fight for each other and to fight for it. So we're encouraged, and that's an indicator of the worthy walk, is that you're fighting for it. You fight for the body. So let's turn to Colossians 1. We're going to read almost the same kind of thing in a shorter version in Colossians. Colossians 1, verse 1. We're going to see something interesting when we start here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren. Now, I know he probably says that to everybody. No, he doesn't. To the holy ones and the faithful is only in Ephesians and Colossians. Wow. Wow. Aha moment. Yeah. Those two churches were very special. And he called them out as believers. So that, I thought that was kind of cool. to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, same two things talked about in Ephesians. But here, it's because of the hope which is laid up for you. The Colossae were hopers. They were hopers. And they were this little tiny town. Like, Colossae wasn't like Rome. Colossae was more like Trap. It was small. It was very small. There's no evidence that Paul even went there. You know, he just wanted to encourage, you know, God had him encourage these people. But they were known for their love. Okay, let's do in four again. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the gospel of in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, bringing forth fruit. This is back when the word was moving hot over Asia Minor. They were seeing it growing and fruit and everywhere. So he's saying, it's growing and bearing fruit in you. It's growing and bearing fruit in all the world. Like, things were hot. And bears fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Epaphras was the guy there ministering the word to them. But Epaphras is referenced many times in the word. So I think he was a pretty cool dude. Probably worth taking a look at sometime. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Epaphras reported back to Paul, these guys really walk in love. They really walk in love. They're great lovers. They were known for their love. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That word knowledge is acknowledgement once again. That was his prayer. We don't cease to pray that you'll be filled, filled, acknowledging what God did for you. And what's the next verse going to say? That you might walk worthy. Those two things are going together. When you acknowledge God, God's filling you, and you start understanding this stuff, it moves you to action. You will walk, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. There's that word fruitful. And in the working translation, it's always fruitful and growing. So there's the implication of a fruit, of a fruit tree, a fruit vine, is it's growing. That you're fruitful and growing in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So there we go. There's that long-suffering again, enduring. And that has to do with being strengthened with might. You're strengthened with might. You're empowered with his power according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering. It's the power, it's being strengthened with might that allows you to endure. It allows you to endure. It enables you to endure with patience and joy, with joyfulness. You know, like whoever said when they're under a really big trial in their life that they can endure with joy. We can. We can. That's a promise. We can. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of his saints in light. We're going to take a little deeper, little deeper dive into verses 10 through 12. We want to look at the four characteristics talked about here. They're almost the same characteristics, but they're worth taking an extra look at. Please turn to, I have to turn my page. Please turn to John 15. So the four indicators in this section are bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all might, and being thankful. Those are four good indicators. We're just going to take an extra look at those four things. So in John 15, verse 4, Jesus Christ said, "Abide in me and I in you." Oh, I stole our pages. Okay, everybody there? John 15, 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." How about that? Let's go down to verse 8. "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." God desires this of us, and it will be part of that action as we acknowledge him and believe his word and move out on it and walk. So we can do nothing of ourselves. When Christ abides in us and we abide in him, we bear fruit. Okay, the second one we want to look at is increasing in the knowledge of God. We did take a look at acknowledgement already, but I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter 2. Just please try to remember that that definition of epignosis, acknowledgement, is the full knowledge that has a powerful influence over you. So that's something that really I hope you all walk away with today. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Well, we're all watching little Ellie grow. She desires her milk. She desires the sincere milk of Krista. I pray she will desire the sincere milk of the Word. But I have watched her when she was hungry, and I had to go warm up a bottle and everything. You know, Krista's nursing, so there's immediate satisfaction there. And when I don't get that bottle warmed up quickly enough, like, heaven and earth is falling apart. You know, she desires with all her body and soul to get fed now. That should be our approach to the word. We should be hungry for this word. You know, God would have us to increase in our knowledge. But I thought it was such a good mind picture when I read that. I'm like, oh, man, I have lived that nightmare where, okay, Ellie, I'm getting it. Hold on. You know, that's how we should be. God's like, I'm filling you. Just stop it. He's a nursing mother. God is more the nursing mother. So we never stop growing. We never stop growing. The next one is we're empowered. We're strengthened with all might. You don't have to turn to it. Everybody knows it, I think, or most people do. Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." You know, he's the one who strengthens us. He's the one who fills us. He makes us worthy. And the fourth one is giving thanks. One of the chief errors of sinful natural man is to be unthankful. That will destroy a person. And it keeps natural man from even wanting the word. Because he's unthankful. It's like, oh, there's nothing there anyway, who cares? Yeah. But that's really not God's heart for us. Romans 1:21, I'll read it. It's talking about natural man. Is because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were they thankful. You know, so their lives were crapped out because they're unthankful. Turn to Ephesians 5. It's another good example of thankfulness. Ephesians 5. This book doesn't turn pages like a regular Bible. Ephesians 5. And verse 1. Be followers, therefore, of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We're to walk in love. And here's a big but. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, which are not proper, but rather the giving of thanks. This is these first three and four are a good example of what walking worthy is not. But rather, be thankful. You know, so I thought that was kind of cool. So those are the four indicators in this section, but they fit right in with humility and meekness and the other ones we read in Ephesians. So, there's one more we want to look at. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Probably a lot of you are familiar with this one, too. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 18. Thanks. Thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Again, this is what God wants for us. This is how he wants us to walk. He wants us to walk thankful. So the last section we're going to look at is in 1 Thessalonians 2. A couple pages back. And 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2 talk about Paul and who was with him, Silvanus and Silas and Timothy, and how they entered in among the Thessalonians. That, you know, they were gentle. They were just there to love them up and teach them God's word and teach them about the hope. And they just poured themselves out night and day for weeks. And they were supporting themselves. So they're like teaching all day or working all day, teaching all night. It was like whatever it took, they were 24/7 for weeks with these people. And in verse 10, he kind of sums up the little section with, "You are our witnesses, and God also, how holy, devotedly, justly, and blamelessly we were with you who believe. Even as you know how we..." Oh, I'm sorry, reading the working translation. "You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy." How about that? They poured themselves out for weeks so that they would walk worthy. We did all this for you. That's what he's saying. We did all this for you, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So back to our balance. So you can see your acknowledgement of God and how much you acknowledge his word and put his word on in your life, it causes you to act. Okay, so these are the two balance, the pans of my balance. It causes you to act. And when you bring your walk into alignment and harmony with God's word, then you're walking worthy. Because you're walking worthy. You've balanced your life in that word. But it can only happen as you put God's word on in your mind and heart, that that because it causes you to act. It will change your walk. You won't recognize yourself. Your mother won't know you. You know, you just kind of move. So there were two things that Paul was trying to get across to these guys: acknowledge God, and live it. You know, and move it. Turn to Psalm 119:96. Psalm 119, verse 96. And the psalmist said, I have seen an end of all perfection. There's an end to everything. But thy commandment is exceeding broad. The word has no end. You know, God said it of himself here. There is no end to it. The more you put God's word on, the more it changes you. And sometimes unaware, like one day you go, wow, that used to worry me. It's like, that doesn't even worry me anymore. It's like, you don't know yourself. Like, so the more you put it on, the more it changes you. There is no end to the perfection of God's truth. And there is no end to acknowledging God's word. So that's really what I wanted to share today. And I hope it blessed you. And I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father God, we're so thankful and humbled by what you've made available to us. This great body you've called us to. You give us direction how to be inside that body, how to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you've enabled us beyond our wildest dreams that we could be yours and walk worthy of you. Thank you so much, Father, for your word and your faithfulness to your word and that faithful word that we can rely on. And I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.